I'm going to be reading the Bible for us this morning. So we are reading from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. So I'll just give you a moment just to find that, and then we'll read together. So Luke 5, verses 27 to 32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Well, today represents one of the biggest ironies that I've ever come across. And that's that this passage that we're preaching on today is a tax collector. But why is this ironic? Well, some of you already know, and some of you are probably smirking, but I myself am literally a tax collector. Sorry. I've worked in my beloved ATO for the past 15 years, a fact of which I'm very proud. And in God's providence, a tax collector is preaching about a tax collector. You've got to love his humor there. Thanks, Lord. And so I'm no stranger to the cheeky glances when tax collectors are referenced in church. And I'm also getting regularly the comedic statement of, "Don't tell him anything, the ATO is listening." It happens. And before you ask, it's always awkward every single time. But it is your solemn right to do it. So go for it. However, I can say that I have not experienced anything like the tax collectors of Jesus' day. And as we come to see Levi in this passage, we'll see our first point, and that's follow Jesus. At this time, the Roman Empire had conquered most of the known world. And as you'd expect, most people do not like being conquered at all. And the Israelites were no different. To make things worse, the Romans required taxes to be paid. And these taxes were not like the taxes that we pay today. When we pay taxes, they go to our schools, our roads, our hospitals, social benefits, things generally that we appreciate. But for Israel, that wasn't the case. When they paid taxes to Rome, they didn't go to Israel. They went to the Roman Empire to fund their military campaigns. Tax was a very touchy topic. But it gets worse. Rome would get some of the locals to do the collections on their behalf. And these locals would take more than they needed, and they would pocket the extra for themselves. They didn't hide it either. They lived lavish lifestyles in front of everyone. Talk about ripping people off. And everyone knew it, and they couldn't do anything about it either. The tax collectors were corrupt with greed and selfish for their own gain. Instead of doing righteously, they sinned against both God and man, abusing power, wanting, coveting, stealing what is not theirs. And it is to one of these tax collectors that we see Jesus approaching. You can imagine the scene, can't you? There's a long and dusty road, and it's probably stinking hot. There's a tax booth over there and another pathway there. You'd probably go that way to avoid the booth, unless you're one of the unfortunate ones. And there's a queue at the booth, and no one's happy to be at the queue, and there's probably a fly buzzing around, and it's just not a good scene. And in the middle of all of this, this Levi, he's probably tapping a coin on his desk with the hand on the side of his face saying, "Next." And as the next person comes to his desk, instead of someone who wants to look at him with disgust, Jesus comes up and meets him eye to eye with grace. With two words, "Follow me," everything changes. In verse 28, we read that Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Levi's colleagues are probably looking at him thinking, "Where in Judea is that guy going?" And then there's probably the people in the line thinking, "Oh great, this is going to take longer than I thought originally." But let's not miss what's going on here. For Levi, there's been a complete change. He leaves his work, his daily pursuits, his financial security. He turns away from coveting, stealing, and greed. His life's direction has changed. Levi has turned to follow Jesus. We can see Levi's sin expressed through his selfishness, can't we? Selfishness which comes from a sinful heart. And we might think that we're not that bad like Levi. But the truth is, we're all a bit greedy, aren't we? We're all a bit selfish. We've all had times when all we want to do is look after ourselves and not care for others. What's more, each of us has all sorts of sin in our own lives, and it presents itself in different ways. And it's sin that nonetheless must be turned away from for the first time or for the 100th time. But where do we turn? And why do we turn? Upon hearing Jesus' call, Levi found something in Jesus that made turning away from a sinful life worth it. Levi saw that following Jesus was better than continuing in his own sinful lifestyle. And we don't turn away from sin to look like a good person. It's more than that. It's not even that. We turn away from sin because of Jesus. So let's follow Levi's example. We could be going along happily in our own lives, building health, wealth, looking after those around us really well. But when Jesus comes along, he demands first place in your life. And second place isn't sufficient for him. You don't follow what's second, you only follow what's first. So let's be like Levi, turn from sin and follow Jesus. Which brings us to our second point, honor Jesus. Have you ever been to an event where someone is being honored? Things like a birthday party, Bucks event, hen's night, or a retirement party. Whatever comes to mind. Whatever the event, in some way, someone is the reason for the event and everyone's eyes are on them. Take, for example, the birthday. We all say a special hello to the birthday boy or girl. We give them cards with flattering words, and at some point someone starts yelling, "Speech, speech!" It's awkward, but we all want to hear about this person. We take this birthday boy or girl, we put them in front of everyone, and we start singing their praises, literally, happy birthday. And we want to honor them. And our passage today isn't too different. In verse 29, we read that Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Who is being honored at this banquet? It's Jesus. It isn't hidden either. Even though it's in Levi's house, it's there for all to see, and lots of people are invited. Levi had just met someone who changed his life, who was the reason for turning away from sin, and he just can't contain it. He throws this gigantic banquet in honor of Jesus, and at no expense spared either. It's a great banquet. You can just imagine it, can't you? I mean, what makes a great banquet? I have three things. It's great food, enough seating, and excellent speeches. There's probably crispy pork belly as well, or not. Roast lamb and goat with all the veggies and gravy that you could want. There's probably perfect lighting with fires as well. Everyone wants to be there. It's an awesome vibe. He really went all out, didn't he, Levi? There's probably great conversations as well. Some probably not so great, like tax collectors talking about tax. But it's interesting, isn't it? Levi left his job, but he didn't leave his friends. They're still in the picture. They get to meet the Lord Jesus. I wonder what else Levi's friends might have been speaking about. Surely Levi's immediate change of life. I mean, they just saw him get up, walk away from everything in his career. He literally left everything in front of their eyes. And who even is this person, Jesus? I wonder how Levi would have answered that question. I wonder how we answer that question. Like, who meets someone and immediately changes the course of their entire life to follow them and then throws a gigantic banquet? Have you ever done this? Would you ever do this? We'd probably only do it for an extraordinary person. And here we see Levi doing it for Jesus. Levi takes this opportunity to introduce his friends to Jesus and show that he is worthy to be honored. We can do something similar in our own lives as well, can't we? We can invite people into our homes and cook meals for them, maybe even a mini banquet. We can invite people to church. We can invite our friends to Hope Explored. I mean, we've just had last Friday night's Hope Explored, and it's not too late to invite others to that as well. For Levi, all of this is a fresh start. He's not seeking the honor for himself anymore, but instead he's seeking it for Jesus. And Levi continues this way for the rest of his life as well, and we know it as a fact because he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, which is his other name. When we seek the honor of Jesus instead of our own, the direction of our life is right. But when we seek honor for ourselves instead of Jesus, life just isn't right. If we live for ourselves, things end up in a meaningless mess. But if we live for Jesus, we live for someone worth living for. The response that Levi had to follow Jesus is as relevant for us today as it was then, as is his response to honor Jesus. Our last point for this morning is Jesus' calls for repentance. In the next part of this passage, we are going to meet the Pharisees, who were the religious rulers of the day. The Pharisees considered themselves to be learned men and righteous as well. They loved the places of honor at banquets and even had special rules about who they could associate with. Noting that, let's come back to the passage, verse 30. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" You can just feel the self-righteous judgment. I mean, who even says that? The Pharisees had heard Jesus' teaching earlier that day and had seen his power to heal. But they had expectations, standards. A teacher of God's law couldn't stoop so low. A righteous person can't eat with sinners. I mean, what's going on? And even though the question is grumbled to the disciples, it's really a question for Jesus. Why do you eat with them? Verse 31, Jesus answered, It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Were the Pharisees expecting an answer like this? They were probably expecting Jesus to join them and just walk away from the party. But Jesus is different. He's the Savior of the world. And conveniently, for our sake, he likes to teach us using everyday experiences. So Jesus takes us to the realm of medicine. He tells us, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Where do our minds go when we hear this? Do they go to the hospital, to the waiting room? We've all been there, sitting in the waiting room. I mean, there's chairs that are only partly comfortable. The aircon's on way too high. There's a bunch of other people as well, some with broken bones and others with things you can't even diagnose yourself. You just don't get it. And sometimes you just have to wait forever. But then all of a sudden, you hear your name called. It's your turn to see the doctor. Jesus is telling us that he is the doctor. But he isn't any normal doctor. He's the doctor who, verse 32 says, has not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He has the cure for the sickness of our sin. There is no amount of anything that any of us could give to fund medical research to find a cure for our sin. Instead, it took Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to find the cure. Jesus, the doctor who just doesn't write a prescription and send you on your way, but the doctor who takes it upon himself, your sickness, my sickness, to that cross where he was crucified. And it's here that we see the love that this doctor has for his patients. It's love that drives him. He gives his body, his organs, his marrow. He gives his life for our sake. What's more, this doctor rose from the dead and lives today. For he himself was not sick, and so sickness couldn't even truly hold him. And because he lives, whoever takes his cure, that is trusting in him with faith, will also live. But you have to realize that you're sick first, don't you? Do you think you're sick? Levi sees that he is, but the Pharisees don't. Levi humbles himself and sees that he needs a doctor. But the Pharisees, full of pride, reject the free healthcare on offer. They just don't get it, do they? They don't think they're sick, they think they're healthy. The Pharisees think that they are righteous and not sinners. They think that they do not need to repent. Imagine that, thinking you're healthy. Going to the doctor to get a checkup, all of a sudden to find out whilst you look healthy on the outside, there's something incredibly wrong on the inside. In your heart. But this just isn't the diagnosis of the Pharisees, is it? This is our diagnosis as well. Each of our hearts is in some way sick with this self-righteousness. Sure, how we express it might be different, but we're still sick with it. For in our hearts, we think we're okay. But we do what we say others should not do. And we don't do what we say others should do. We know and teach the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But we don't keep it perfectly ourselves. Without a doctor to diagnose us, without Jesus, we'd be lost. Our hearts would be forever corrupt. At the heart of our sin is pride against God, a pride that says, I do not need you, God. And we might think that we're healthy on our own, but that is because we are sinful, not because we're righteous. The only person who is truly righteous on their own is Jesus, and he is the doctor. Levi knew this. He knew that his heart was corrupt. He knew that he needed open heart surgery. And thanks be to God who does send us that surgeon, the doctor who for love's sake came to heal us of our sicknesses, to save us from our sins. In 1899, a man who came to be known as the doctor was born. His name was Martin Lloyd-Jones, and some of you may have heard of him. For the majority of Martin's life, he was a Christian, and he was in fact a minister at the Westminster Chapel in London. In his earlier years, he studied medicine and excelled in his field. And by the age of 23, he completed a doctorate in medicine. The guy was a legend. He regularly attended church and lived morally. But by his own confession, later on in life, he acknowledged that he wasn't truly a believer in those years. Funny, isn't it? Martin would have been one of the doctors who calls your name whilst you're in the waiting room. But he himself needed to be in the spiritual waiting room. In 1923, at the age of 24, Martin came face to face with the reality of his own sin. Through hearing the preaching of the gospel, Martin was cut to the heart. Writing, Martin said, God brought me to see that the real cause of all of my troubles and ills, and that of all men, was an evil and fallen nature which hated God and loved sin. My trouble was not only that I did things that were wrong, but that I myself was wrong at the very center of my being. Martin the doctor saw that his own heart was sick and needed surgery. And by the grace of God, Martin turned from his sin to Jesus in repentance. He saw his corrupt heart in the same way that Levi did. And he saw Jesus for who he is, repented and turned and followed him. As we come to the end of this morning's message, how do you think that great banquet ended? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I suspect these words of Jesus cut everyone to the heart. Do they cut to your heart? Don't ignore that. That's Jesus looking to perform open heart surgery on you. Turn away from your sin. See your own sickness for what it truly is. A sinful heart that you cannot cure yourself. Jesus is a doctor who came to heal the problem of our hearts. And he gave his life for us. Turn and follow him. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life, death, and resurrection. We thank you for not leaving us in our sickness without a doctor. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, that you would help his words cut deep into our hearts. And through repentance, produce a bountiful crop for your glory. Amen.